It's 6 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me? I am here today because I cannot be there with you today. But thank you for coming. Thank you for your resolve, your generosity of spirit. I thank President Correa for the courage he has shown in considering and in granting me political asylum. And to the people of the United States, the United Kingdom, Sweden, and Australia, who have supported me in strength, even when their governments have not. And to those wiser heads in government who are still fighting for justice, your day will come. To the staff, supporters, and sources of WikiLeaks, whose courage and commitment and loyalty has seen no equal. As WikiLeaks stands under threat, so does the freedom of expression and the health of all our society. I ask President Obama to do the right thing. The United States must renounce its witch hunt against WikiLeaks. The United States must dissolve its FBI investigation. The United States must vow that it will not seek to prosecute our staff or our supporters. The United States must pledge before the world that it will not pursue journalists for shining a light on the secret crimes of the powerful. And to the Army private, who remained in a military prison in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, who was found by the United Nations to have endured months of torturous detention in Quantico, Virginia, and who has yet, after 2 years in prison, to see a trial, he must be released. Bradley Manning must be released.
Yes.
If Bradley Manning did as he is accused, he is a hero and an example to all of us, and one of the world's foremost political prisoners. There is unity in the oppression. There must be absolute unity and determination in the response.
Yep.
Pussy Riot, free, Pussy Riot, free, Pussy Riot.
want to thank everybody for being patient and listening to our intro today. Hey, Jack, nice to see you back.
Yeah, good to be back, Gwen. Good to hear your voice again. Let's stand in solidarity with both Pussy Riot and Julian Assange.
Yeah, we opened up with the statement that Julian Assange gave today over in London, and this was a song put together. I don't think it's Pussy Riot, but I'm not quite sure, but it is solidarity with them.
In support with them, yeah. Right.
Yeah, I do have a quote that I'd like to make, which I think is good here from one of the lead singer there. It says, she said, essentially, it is not three singers from Pussy Riot who are on trial here. If that were the case, what's happening would be totally insignificant. It is the entire state system of the Russian Federation which is on trial, and which, unfortunately for itself, thoroughly enjoys quoting its cruelty towards human beings, its indifference to their honor and dignity, the very worst that has happened in Russian history to date. To my deepest regret, this mock trial is close to the standards of the Stalinist troikas. Thus, we have our investigator, lawyer, and judge. And then, what's more, what all three of them do and say and decide is determined by a political demand for repression. Who is to blame for the performance at the Cathedral of Christ the Savior and for our being put on trial after the concert? The authoritarian political system is to blame. What Pussy Riot does is oppositional art, or politics that draws upon the forms art has established. In any event, it is a form of civil action in circumstances where the basic human rights, civil and political freedoms are suppressed by the corporate state system. And I ask you, I got to ask you, how is this not a reflection of the brutality and repression we see here in America right now? We're facing a global crisis in restoring humanity, and period. That's it. Three young women are willing to face Russian prison to stand up for humanity. This revolution is planetary. We're all struggling to evolve, and the line has been drawn in the sand, and the question remains, which side are you on?
Well, we know what side we're on, and it's in solidarity with Bradley Manning, Julian Assange, and Pussy Riot. And all three of those entities are being oppressed. There's no doubt about it. And this is insane in this day and age, supposedly of reason. This is not the age of reason when we have acts like that being perpetrated.
No, not at all. I want to welcome everybody who's listening to Hear Monsters for August 18th, 2012. Jack and I are back with a roundtable discussion today. The Sunday show here is sponsored by Roundtree7, that's the number 7.com, and its writers, Saturday Afternoon Post and Jack Jodell, and Daughters of ISIS, Inc. We're part of a drumline of independent voices broadcasting truth to power and knowledge to the social consciousness. And we got some caller-inners, I hope, today, Jack.
Great. Sounds good. We'll look forward to hearing from everybody.
Yeah, and Jim Joyner from...
American Patriot. Great.
Yeah, one of our commentators over in the rooms, his name is William Sawhill. I saw where somebody had called them when we were playing everything up front and then dropped out, so I hope they call back. And it's just you and me until the gang calls in. So I'm waiting for the calls to come in, as they say. I really like to share this one too. We had a roundtable discussion with Manny Jelonsky and David, and I've opened the mics on the calls that have come in already. So guys, you're hot, guys and gals. I know one of them's David, right, David?
That is me.
Hi, David.
And
hi, how's it going?
Good.
It's great. I just wanted to share this, though, with the audience. The roundtable discussion that we did on with Jack and Manny and David, and also on, you know, the ability to cooperate with one another in the liberal radical realm here.
Mm-hmm.
That show has gotten over 3,000 listens.
Great.
On blog.
Wow.
And I think
that's great.
That's fantastic for us little drummers out here. So
mm-hmm.
I want to thank the audience so much.
Yes.
You know, for coming
yeah,
on.
Yeah, keep on listening, gang.
Yeah, bringing up the conversation. So who's the 978 area?
That
code?
Would be me, Gwen.
Jim.
Jim Joyner.
Hi, Jim.
Thank you.
Hey, Jim.
I'm average American patriot.
I'm just sitting here. Listen, I had to. I'm talking to you on the telephone, but you're like 5 seconds behind on my computer, so I had to shut my computer off because I couldn't figure you guys out.
Oh, it's a delay or something. Yeah,
it's a delay, right?
Yeah, Jim. All you really have to do is push the button that silences it, and everything's cool. It'll work for you. You can still use the chat room. Gents, any comments today about Julian Assange coming out in the declaration or the statement that he made?
It was a very active day today. I kind of had my own thoughts on that, of course, and I think he might have been better off kind of. This is the UK and the US that he's dealing with. There's no rationality here. And I think he would have been better off just staying quiet. Because I would put nothing past them, nothing.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's interesting. David, would you elaborate on what you had said in the chat room? I think that was really profound what you had to say.
Oh, what I had commented about was that I think that Julian Assange, he needs to sort of separate himself from WikiLeaks, you know, be sort of a parallel force that keeps WikiLeaks in the picture, but he needs to make it where WikiLeaks is not Julian Assange. I mean, he needs
uh-huh.
to keep the WikiLeaks concept going, and right now, the way I see it, is that it's still him alone. If Julian Assange goes away, then WikiLeaks goes away. And I think WikiLeaks is too important for that to happen. I think
I agree,
he needs
and that's
to try
a good
to
point,
distance
David.
Himself. Yeah.
Good point, yeah.
It really is. It to the front, yeah.
But I know it's hard to do, but, I mean, I certainly could, like, come up with some ideas or something like maybe you should select somebody else to be the lead of WikiLeaks, you know, some other figure,
mm-hmm.
and try to, you know, make this
make
asylum,
it anonymous,
sort of
like the demonstrations have been anonymous, rather than have a single figurehead that everybody can pick on, all the guys from the government and right wing can pick on. Let's have it be anonymous. Let's have it go
exactly
from
yeah.
table
or
to table.
Or make it a group. Make it
yeah.
make it where it doesn't have it's a leaderless group, but it keeps it in the picture.
Very good. Yeah, good.
Yeah, so yeah, you have a leader. You focus on, you know, the enemies can focus on something too. So he needs
oh,
to
yeah,
move away from that.
Yeah, exactly. For his own protection too.
Well, you got
to
figure.
It's too much to. It's too much to hold on just one person's shoulders. I mean, he's
right.
bearing. He's basically, you know, let's face it. He sacrificed his existence for
yes.
this. And I commend him for it. He's a hero.
Courageous
in my book,
stand.
But still,
yep.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
but still, it's too much for one person to try to handle.
Does
right.
anybody
I mean,
really
it's him against the United States in a way.
Right.
Yeah, does anybody really think that the UK and the U.S. are not going to have their way, whatever it takes?
Well, I hope they smuggle him out of there so that he will not be arrested and held and extradited. I hope that's exactly what happens. I hope he can be smuggled out of the country into safe hiding for as long as he needs to be, because this is outrageous what they're trying to do to him.
Well, we really need
the point is, I don't know how safe he could be in Ecuador. I mean, say he makes it to Ecuador, how safe is he going to be there? I mean, look, we got these strike teams that can go and get anybody anywhere. So, yeah, that's why I'm thinking it just has to get away from just being Assange.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, I think there is coming a moment, gentlemen, that the world is going to turn against all of its leadership in a collective moment. And I hate to say this, but it would be something like this. If Julian Assange was taken that way or any harm came to him and the people looked and saw that, I got to tell you, I know I'd be in the street.
Yeah, I think it would be an ignition point at that point.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, very true.
I don't know who the fucking strategists are in Downing Street or room in the White House, but they got their heads so far up their asses, you know, I'll back down. I'm not talking now.
No, I mean, that needs to be said. It's very true.
Who was a bright, I forget what his name, that mentioned to the Ecuadorian embassy that they might get stormed by the police? I mean, what bright SOB came up with that? I mean,
Tory in Britain, undoubtedly.
Years.
You know, it's ridiculous.
Somebody said that they can take away their rights to have, you know.
Well, they can shut down the embassy. They can expel all the diplomats and shut down the embassy if they want to get that extreme. But
there's serious repercussions with that.
Yes,
there is, absolutely, and there should be, because that would be utterly ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah,
they would, and then they would go in and take him and then give him their rights back.
Yeah.
That
would be a violation of every protocol known to man. That would be so ridiculous.
What haven't they violated lately?
Yeah.
I mean, attack.
Yeah, drones and everything else. It's been pretty bad.
Yeah, they illegally attacked Iraq. I mean, who knows what everybody is doing over in Syria. I mean.
Yeah. That remains to be seen. There will be horror stories coming out of there, even worse than what we've seen so far, I'm sure.
Yeah, the sad part is that, you know, you think everything's bad right now. This is, I hate to say it, a joke. This is just a prelude. It's going to get a hell of a lot worse. It has to.
I think so.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
People speak in terms of there's going to be a catalyst somewhere. There's going to, and I do think there is a moment coming when collectively people, societies are going to see, I don't know if it'll be the West, the East, or the Middle East, but collectively there will be a moment and societies will turn on their leadership in such a dimension as something has to give.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you couldn't possibly see a turn in the United States like you're seeing in Syria. I mean, that'll not happen. I mean, they've got the camps already ready anyway. I mean,
well, you know, I don't think it's going to come in terms of people, you know, pitchforks and hammer handles at the gates of the White House. I think it's going to come in just the same way it has, it did almost a year ago now on September 16th. I think people will begin to take to the streets and the numbers will grow. And news will not be able to ignore it. I think that things might get to the point where, you know, maybe these corporate bastards will get their hearts in their throat. You know,
yeah.
excuse my chuckle with the pitchforks. I had a mental image there that I was enjoying.
And let's hope they're looking out on the street from the White House when that occurs.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
this week, Scott Olson and a group of Iraq vets against the war walked into the Obama headquarters in Oakland and took it over and did it peacefully. and said, you know, we're making a statement. There were six arrests. Mr. Olson agreed not to be arrested. I think it probably was a smart thing for him to do because I know he's got an ongoing lawsuit with the Oakland PD.
Right.
And may he win.
Oh, I hope so, yeah. You never know out in California which way it's going to go, but he certainly has a strong case. And, you know, a decorated Iraq veteran being treated the way he was, I mean, like a complete scumbag criminal, you know, where's it going to end?
Look at all of the decorated Iraq vets who threw their medals back at all of them in Chicago. I mean, you know, the symbolicism is flooded into the streets still.
Yeah,
but this
good.
Week, that happening, it's another blip or another light blinking on the map. You see all of these different incidents or events occurring on what I call the right side of the line, our side of the line, if you will. And they're blinking everywhere. It's just stepping back and looking at them because we don't see it so clearly in the press.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know,
yeah.
What is
no, they hide it. They hide it or they distort it.
I'm sorry. Well, yeah, it's true. But that incident happened, and it did get some press coverage. David, didn't it get some press coverage? I don't watch the news anymore.
Some, yeah, some.
Mm-hmm.
You want
not much, and then they downplayed it, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, Jim.
I was just going to say, I don't want to divert from this, so maybe I should just wait. I just wanted to say, after I talked to you today, Gwen, I actually lowered myself to watch Fox just so that I could see what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sickening. I mean, I won't get into that. To politics. I'll let you guys finish what you're discussing.
Yeah.
What was Fox reflecting on it? Anything about the Assange?
They weren't talking about Assange, but they were talking about the Obama and Romney Medicare plans.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, I have to admit that they actually sounded like they were more Obama than they were Romney. I'm sorry to say that Rove was on there.
Oh, yuck.
And that guy just makes me want to puke.
He's terrible. Skin crawl, man. He's bad news.
Oh, I mean.
Let me ask you a question. Do you see a Romney sort of pulling away from the policy statements that Paul Ryan's been saying before?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you see that a little bit? Like he's trying to establish himself away from Ryan, which makes me wonder, why did he choose him to begin with?
Well,
as a way to pull in teabaggers.
He did that to placate the right wing and get their good old boy support. And you know what? It's just a stupid move on his part.
I agree.
His campaign is really, really short-circuited. That's the only way I can describe it. He's not making sense on much of anything, really. Everything's short-term and contradictory, and you don't know. Again, it's typical Mitt Romney. You don't know where the hell he stands on anything.
Yeah, but all I heard today was Medicare. And, you know, whose plan was better? But what it boiled down to on Fox is that Gillespie didn't have any answers. And they don't have any answers. But
no, they don't.
Obama's plan, it's solvent until 2023, and under Romney's plan, it's only good for 2016, which is like tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
And they had no reasons. They couldn't.
Why are they discussing the mechanics of two separate but equally asinine plans for the health of the country.
All of a sudden, it's starting to look like Obama is running against Ryan, not Romney. Romney's staying in the...
Obama wants to because he wants to portray Ryan as being way out of the mainstream and thereby tagging Mitt Romney indirectly with that same approach. But, you know, let's face it, they are way out of the mainstream, both of them. But Obama isn't much better, you know, let's face it. The guy, he's such a middle-of-the-roader, he's boring, you know.
That's a good point, Jack. If you're not going to bring in some of Paul Ryan's policies, then why bring in a target for Obama to aim at? It just doesn't make sense to me.
I know. Ryan... You know, Ryan's a lightning rod for a lot of criticism, and all of it deserved. The guy's a bad news guy, period. He's the most reactionary VP candidate any ticket has had. The guy belongs back in 1890. He's not a current modern guy. He's way off track. And, you know, the American people have soon got to see this because I'll tell you what, this guy is a dangerous, dangerous guy. He's so anti-everything, anti-worker, anti-woman, anti-healthcare, anti-everything. The guy's just, he's pro-millionaire, and that's all he is.
Well, he seems to be a god
Has anybody seen that they've chosen the commentators for the presidential debates and who those commentators are? It's like the old white boys network wanted out real fast and quick.
Well, they have.
4 years ago when I was with the famous TLH and she was teleprompting for Obama and I was a supporter, I met Candy Crowley, and she's a very nice lady, but she's an out-and-out thug. She's totally for the conservative neocon timeline.
Good God. Yuck. That woman just won't learn.
I watch Fox for a little bit and I get so sick of hearing the excuse of the left wing media is the problem. When you know what I mean?
There is no left wing media.
Not that I'm aware of.
The true left-wing media is so small and marginalized, it is absolutely non-influential. I just can't believe that they keep peddling that nonsense, and it's just a bunch of crap. Yeah.
I'd like to take a second here to give a shout-out to our chat room, which has... Mike Stimson and Janelle Green in there.
Hey, Mike and Janelle.
Yeah, and I'd like to say hi to them, and I'd also like them to, if they're not going to call in, people. If you're not going to call in, put some questions in that in the chat room that we can discuss. I know Trisha's calling in a little bit later, or right now. But I really encourage you guys in the chat to call in and join in. Anyways, continue.
I was hoping you wasn't hearing that chicken in the background. Did you hear that? There was a chicken in the backyard. That was. I go, well, that'll give you some cred. Hard to sound credible when you have a chicken clucking, isn't it?
I just thought that was Romney and Ryan talking in the background.
Yeah, it was. I was playing a speech.
Yeah.
You know, the other part about the presidential debates is I saw a video rebroadcast of the live Huffington Post. I don't know if anybody has caught that yet, the live Huffington Post thing they're doing. I got to tell you, I'm kind of impressed with it.
What are they doing? They're having a live response to all the mainstream media stuff or what?
Well, yeah, kind of. It's live on stream, ongoing, and they use Google Hangout to bring other commentators in. And
cool.
It's like a live cam, live mm-hmm. stream feed. So they're doing it for like nothing, and it's impressive to me. I've seen some good
yeah.
stuff, and I've seen stuff that has made me angry. Hi, Tricia.
Hello. Hello.
Hi,
how
Tricia.
Are you?
Hey, Trish.
Good.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in and joining the discussion.
Well, thank you. I don't have anything to add to mainstream media or Julian Assange or anything like that. I was, I try to just, like, avoid everything, and I just go to the Roundtree, Journey with Roundtree room and find out what's going on. So you guys are my filter while I'm out sitting in a garden trying to, you know, stay positive and be the change and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cultivate my empathy and enthusiasm and things. And
very good.
I'm jazz, you know, well, I'm jazz because, you know, Dennis Traynor's documentary that we've all been supporting, American Autumn, the OcuDoc, is going to be in a film festival here in New York City the weekend. It's the weekend that everybody's coming back to Occupy Wall Street. September 17th is the anniversary. And anyway, so the documentary will be shown on the 15th. Me and Manny are going, and I think that's really cool, so we can report back. And
yeah, please do.
You know, so that's all good. And I've seen it before because I was at the premiere out in Brooklyn earlier this summer. And it was, you know, I have to say that when you think about things like there is no, you know, there is, you can't look at TV and find out anything. You know, I was struck by that when I was watching the documentary with my parents down in Texas, who have always been Occupy supporters and look at things. But they look at CNN. They look at Mother watches Rachel Maddow all the time, and
mm-hmm.
you know, your usual suspects on the TV and the newspaper, and they had never heard of it. Some of the things about Occupy, like the Declaration of the General Assembly of New York, about the Declaration of the Occupation of New York City, which Dennis uses, then I have to mention A.J. Russo because she's the associate producer and did all the graphics, and they're outstanding. But anyway, they hung the documentary on the points of the Declaration, which you can get if you just go to the NYGA. You know,
that's a really good point. And also, I'd like to put in that Mike Simpson out in the chat said, "Be it resolved that there is a liberal media, and it's all mainstream news media, including Fox News. And when I say liberal, I mean the acceptance of market capitalism and accompanying worldview. Hang on, worldview." Of automistic individualism. Okay, Mike. Consider current events discussion on Sunday morning talk shows. Ever hear any one of those shows say the problem is capitalism and that power is in the hands of capital?
Hmm.
You know?
No, you don't.
And
we should.
That's well, at the least erudite, that is right on the money. That's right on
You know, and that's sort of the point of on September 17th, the whole focus of the reentry into Wall Street is, it's you are not alone, only it's A and LOAN, because so many of the people who were originally occupying were in debt with their student loans or the mortgage loan collapse, and
mm-hmm.
it's like they've got all the money and we've got all the debt, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and anyway, and so I thought that was clever that you are not alone. And over at Punk Patriots site, Dennis did a little trailer for September 17. It's hashtag F17. You can find it on Twitter. But there's a whole default movement going on to just say no to paying it back because the kids with the student loans, they can't get jobs. Mm-hmm. They've got,
right.
you know, they've been essentially turned into indentured servants to the United States government, which in my mind, you know, it's like I owe my soul to the company store, only now it's Sally Mae instead of the coal, you know, back in the day.
Good point. They didn't get their money's worth. No
right.
doubt about
right.
it.
They didn't give jack shit, and so except for you know $40,000 to $100,000, you know the credit card debt is less than student loan debt in this country now, and
all they bought was slavery. They just bought slavery. That's all.
You know, well, it is. It's you know we're debt slaves, we are wage slaves, we are all
right.
these things, and
right.
you know,
important thing to mention about that. Student debt is that it can't be discharged either. I mean, it stays with you.
No, it can't. You can defer
bankruptcy. Not even
bankruptcy.
In bankruptcy can you get rid
no,
of it.
No. Mm-hmm. And you know, the way things are going, debtor's prison cannot be far behind. And
right.
it's, you know, it's alarming. And anyway, it's just one of the points that Dennis addresses in the documentary. But there's a really nice bit up over at Punk Patriot's site that's a call to a little video that's just a call to arms, if you will, about the debtor's army. And just say,
mm-hmm.
no, we have the power to resist. And that's really
right.
about it.
That's the truth, though. That is very true when you think about it. There's the old adage about if you owe somebody a little bit of money, they own you. But if you owe somebody, a lot of people, a lot of money, you own them. Really, that's really what it boils down to. And if people realize that and act accordingly, we'll get some good action on these debts.
There's one thing I'd like to bring up. Something similar to what Trish was talking about, and it's a report from the Center for Human Rights and Global Justice. It just
mm-hmm.
came out, and the title of it is Suppressing Protest in America, and it's this report that they've been working on for about 10 months now, and what
mm-hmm.
they did is they put this huge PDF form report that goes
mm-hmm.
into the amount of violations and the assembly rights violations that occurred, and they give this large record of all these links to all these instances that occurred, you know, video links and so on and so on. And it's going to be a series of reports. This first one was the Occupy New York, and
mm-hmm.
I can give a link to it in the chat room, but they're going through in five more major cities and
mm-hmm.
Produce
well,
reports
it's very
on
true.
It, too.
I'm glad you brought that up because we're not the land of the free anymore.
No. And if anybody that needs proof in that in trying to form an opinion about just how free you can be when you're protesting, all they have to do is just look at the copy of this report. And the evidence is there is we no longer have freedom of assembly and speech.
No, they'll tear gas you, they'll mace you, they'll beat you, they'll do all kinds of things. And that's not freedom anymore. And they act like people are out there destroying property, and they're not, you know?
No. And there was several instances of, just gross violations of rights and attacking and preemptive attacks on protesters and so on and so on. So
exactly.
I put the link in the chat room, and I highly recommend the report to anybody that's interested in that.
Yeah, good idea.
That's my
good idea.
Gentlemen,
people need to know.
And Tricia, gentlemen, and Tricia, if you'll give us 46 seconds for a sponsor break, just one moment.
Daughters of Isis, aromatic and healing oils for all your aromatherapy needs. Cultivated by the ancient gods themselves, blended by hand. In ancient wisdom, the adepts of the Daughters of Isis. 866-364-6457. Daughters of Isis.
It's somebody's phone or mic I guess it was the playback. All of Somebody's phone has got a lot of static.
It had delay on it. I know the vocal had a lot of delay on it.
Oh,
I
want to
thank Zach for that. We have a promo for his Progressive News Network at the end of the show, too, but that was really great. General David, please, to resume.
Oh, yeah, about the report, the suppressing protest?
Yeah.
Well, I could just go into some highlights of the report. Towards the end of it, they give 130 different links to videos of various incidents that occurred. First, I'll read one out right here. It's incident number 7. A journalist reported that an employee at a cafe near a protest march stated that he went outside and began filming the protest because he heard a commotion and went outside where he saw police macing women and hitting people with nightsticks. The employee stated, "As I tried to take a picture, I was pushed away. I asked why I was pushed away, and the next thing you know, I was being judo flipped." And it gives a link to the interview of that. And so it's just all these incidences that have been collected by this group that produced this very extensive report. And anybody that's want to find actual links to incidences that have occurred, I highly recommend this report as a reference material.
Yeah, those links should be made available as wide and as often as possible, because that is very, very relevant to what's going on right now and the oppression that we are all facing.
Yeah, the title of the report is Suppressing Protests, Human Rights Violations in the U.S. Response to Occupy Wall Street by the Global Justice Clinic.
Mm-hmm. Very
good. You know, and I think it's particularly pertinent as we head into the
anniversary.
But also the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention, the practice is that, you know, there are structured free speech zones where demonstrators are kept behind fences, and it's like George Orwell, for God's sake.
It is,
you know?
Really. Good point.
Trish. You know, so not only, and another point that they make in Dennis's documentary is American Autumn is like Code Pink is on there saying that, you know, for a decade, people have been shuffling around Washington in a circle on Saturdays when they have their permits, when nobody's there to even see them. And, you know, so that the whole traditional way of demonstrating is getting nobody in
They found a way to control that too. It's getting like Soviet Russia.
Well, I mean, you know, and I was speaking with one earlier today and was reminded of an article that David had written on Roundtree a while back about swarming. And wondering how that was going to play out. Because I know everybody's been, as much as Occupy is not in the news, things are still happening around the country. It's just organizing in smaller groups and getting ready to make a splash this fall and come back. And so I am... You know, anyway, I'm all jazz. I'm looking forward to the
event on the
15th, and also being with Manny, because I think he's really brilliant and level headed and a necessary and wonderful voice in the in the independent media. And I just noticed Krill's comment about, I've been dreaming of Chicago 1968 for 2 years now, and just, and
that was
remembering, it's like so exciting, but really the only way you're going to be able to have any impact is to either go over the line or be in the hotel with the delegates or whatever you can do. I mean, when they had this in New York some years ago, the last time there was a convention, you know, they put the Republican delegates on a cruise ship so they wouldn't even have to interact with us. And so, I mean, it was fucking bullshit, you know, and there wasn't even anything going on then. And so I can't imagine what they'll be doing now. So,
well, those conservatives need to be protected by all stretches of the imagination.
Especially on a cruise ship, you know, they need their open bar. So,
God, how pathetic.
There are a lot of restrictions that have been placed in Tampa right now. And
yeah.
Janelle Green just brought up one that they say no occupiers are going to be allowed in the area. They've forbidden occupy. How can you
so
do
much
that?
For free speech.
Who are they to say that? How can they say that?
Yeah, you're an idiot.
I mean, last I saw this, this is supposed to be a
in Tampa,
free democracy.
It's on the street. It's
that's
actually
what it's supposed to be,
street.
But it's not.
You can just walk
yeah,
around.
They're setting up these truth zones, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way far down the road and all, you know, fenced in and just completely ridiculous.
Well, you know, like in a plastic shell with Pussy Riot. I mean, give me a break. It's,
right.
You know, people always say that history repeats itself if you don't look. And you know, I don't study enough history to know, you know, really what went down when Stalin was suppressing things or Mao was suppressing things or any number
mm-hmm.
of dictators. But, you know, I mean, whatever, I mean, I just think of Barack Obama and his peace prize in one hand and his drone trigger in another, and I don't really
mm-hmm.
see how any of us are particularly safe at this moment
mm-hmm.
from government interference.
Well, David just brought up that the fact of people and how they've been brutalized by the police in this country, I would like to remind everybody that just last week the bullshit department at the White House was spewing all of that stuff about how Obama is on the side of the occupiers and
I saw that. Please don't arrest them.
Yeah, that's why they don't have. That's why they have the Department of Homeland Security working against them.
I had this, this
please,
really bad taste.
Please.
Just bile just rose in my throat when I read that. I was like, oh my God.
I know.
Yeah, no, it's well, you know, he says a lot of things. I'm still remembering he said he was going to put on his comfortable shoes and join the strikers if there was a strike, and they were waiting in Wisconsin for a year, and he still hasn't shown up there. So,
right.
Anyway, I got no faith in the Uniparty. So.
The guy has not engaged in one fight since he's been in office. He has not taken a demonstrative side to fight for
the
people.
No, he's a wimp. He's a wimp.
He's a community.
He doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to fight. He wants to sit on the sidelines and let it happen by magic, you know.
Well, he did take that fight in prosecuting the whistleblowers. Boy, he was really adamant about that.
Yeah, that's
he,
right.
Had, he goes after him with fire and temper that you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
You know, which brings us back to Bradley Manning, you know, and it brings us back.
He should be freed immediately, and he should be compensated for his time.
You know, well, you know, there's a lot of damn time, but, you know, and Tim DeChristopher, I don't know if he's in or out right now, but, I mean, these are people who stood up for us, you know,
yes,
and they're protecting us. And, you know, I think Tim got plenty of money to cover his legal fees, but, you know, the fight continues, and no matter what happens.
They're being treated like they're mass murderers.
Office.
They're being treated worse than as if they were mass murderers.
Well, Mike Stimson brought up in the chat room the fact that this is what we're dealing with, too, that Obama's most ardent supporters are, damn, I have to scroll back, are totally blind to the parallels with which he uses, you know, he's duplicitous. And he brought up the fact of the Oakland Obama's office headquarters takeover. It's quite true. And then Janelle has said that, you know, Obama is not really a wimp, which is absolutely true, too. He's just doing what he sees as strategically important for himself.
Well, and also for the people who hired him, for God's sakes, which is Wall Street in the first place. And so,
yeah.
I mean, I've made jokes in the past about Obama is as big a corporate spokesperson as Tiger Woods ever was. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really true. They groom them. They put them up there, you know, the right kind of watch and whatever. And,
yeah.
you know, I don't know. Y'all may know that my little brother has a Pulitzer and hangs out with presidents and shit like that. And so he had to point out that if anybody really cared about how George Bush said nuclear, you know, they would have hired an elocutionist to make him sound like, you know, generic accent. They wouldn't have had his good old boy act up there if it
mm-hmm.
didn't serve the powers that be of the 1% that are manipulating what we see in the media so that they can control
yep.
the country. And we'll all shut the fuck up and go buy more shit at Walmart that we don't need.
Right.
And
yep.
it's been going on since Ronald Reagan told the white people to forget civil rights and go sit down and go to the suburbs and shop.
Yeah,
and, you
right.
know, Rudy Giuliani tells us at 9/11, you know, or Bush did, whoever, we're supposed to shop for our patriotic duty. So, you know, this
yeah.
has been going on since, like, I don't know when. And I just think Obama is the latest in a line of corporate spokespeople that have landed in the White House.
Well, Tricia, maybe that's a good point. Maybe it's not possible for a president to be his own, to stand on his own, so to speak. Maybe he has to be the player that's necessary. I mean, in other words, he's like sort of a proxy person, a puppet. I mean,
right.
maybe
absolutely.
It's up to that
good point,
point
where David. Good point.
That Obama can't be the Obama. I mean, say, you know, for a mind game, that he was this moral, outstanding person. But perhaps it's to the point now where a president, once he gets to that level, he cannot be the person that he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming
yeah.
that Obama would want to be moral, he has to be the person that's paid for.
It's
well,
like
yeah.
what happened
I mean,
to that well-meaning guy on that British sitcom, Yes Minister. He went in there very idealistic, wanting to change the world and make it right and do everything right for the taxpayers. And little by little, he got compromised by his civil servants around him who were doing things behind his back. And you know, it's the same similar thing with what we have in our government.
The
well,
only way
yeah,
out.
Yeah, and this may be a bad analogy, but I've been sort of checking out this show Breaking Bad, and you know it's a moral Shakespearean play. This guy he goes
yeah,
in with
is.
The best of intentions to generate money for his family before he dies of cancer. So he goes into cooking meth, you know, and he
oh Lord
gradually. Sort of dissolves into this really despicable character, but it's done so slow, and with each decision that he makes, it's bad. You can see how he could have made the right decision, but it's still it's done so slowly. It's almost like a boiling frog legs type thing, where you
yeah.
never have one single point where he
yep.
really went bad, but he's
mm-hmm.
a despicable person by the time it's all over with.
Well,
yeah.
you know, and Obama is a despicable person now, no matter what he thought when you know
I
he
agree.
Was coming
yeah.
up and gave that speech. Whatever Democratic convention it was before last, where he first came to national attention. You know, and back in the day when Paul Simon was training him, and back when he was in Chicago, and maybe he really did hang out with Bill Ayers, maybe he really was a socialist, you know,
yeah.
but that was a long time ago.
Yeah,
and,
I know, it's too far away.
That's why I laugh at all this stuff about him being a socialist and anti-capitalism. He shored up capitalism. Let's get real about it. All these idiots talking about him being so anti-capitalism and anti-business and all this, Christ almighty, they don't know what they're talking about.
I know.
Yeah, they don't know
like,
what they're talking about.
He's their
so.
Guy, but they don't even realize it, you know.
Right.
Well,
like, he's a more efficient Bush.
He's one of, yeah, exactly. He's one of them. That's right.
It's all a dog and pony show for the benefit
yep.
of the masses.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and it works every time.
Yeah, it
you
does.
Know, I mean, we've got the Ministry of Propaganda, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's
oh, yeah.
it works every time. And we really have, I mean, you know, it's Idiocracy, Here We Come. And the thing that concerns me, I mean, like when you think of it, voting is the least that you can do in the democracy. And even 60% of our public doesn't vote. And,
right.
You know, maybe there's
they don't
want to
be political. They don't care about politics. They
think they can
immerse themselves in entertainment and that'll get them through life. These
you know
people
what?
Are crazy.
I wish that were true. I think most of them are disenfranchised and think they're all crooks. And because Punk Patriot has been out, you know, Punk Patriot is registering voters in, for the Green Party in Maine, where he's running for state house, and he's registered more voters that are around 60 years old, over 50, who have never voted once because they think the whole thing is such bullshit.
It's rigged.
I wish they were wrong. You know, but so many people are disenfranchised. And furthermore, you're working two jobs on a Tuesday. If anybody cared that we voted, they might do it on the weekend, or they might do it over 3 days. There's about a million ways we could redo this system, but that's not going to happen because white men can go do whatever they want and tell their obedient wives to go do the same, and those people turn out, not the ones that could make a difference. So.
Not the ones that should turn out. A lot of times, like you say, they are disenfranchised legally. You know, it's just unreal.
Well, and let's talk about how people get arrested and they lose their voting rights, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's
so that's another point that Dennis brings up in the documentary, is that one out of six black men, or I think maybe it's 16, but anyway, it's like half the black men between 18 and 34 are in fucking jail. And they spend more money on incarceration than education. And these people may not have done anything, and they've lost their right to vote. And you better know. You know, if they're going to go with the two party, they're traditional Democrats. So, you know, if you can't lock them away from the polls in Georgia with some stupid rule and law, then you can just lock them up, you know, with for carrying a reefer and, you know, take care of them that way. So.
Yeah, right, right.
Hey there, Spitfire.
I know. I've been on summer vacation getting my energy up again. So you can see I'm like, Trish, I had something to say.
Well, you pumped the rest
Dennis,
of us up, Trish.
You pumped
the rest of us up. Good job.
You know, Dennis really did a beautiful job, and I urge everyone to go just Google American Autumn and Archidoc, and you can watch it for free on YouTube anytime. But send him $10 because, you know, he really has been working hard, and he's out there, you know, now. And Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zeese and, you know, just a legion of people are working hard.
Great.
He's doing the job. Thank you, Trish, for bringing that up and for plugging him today. Really appreciate you being on. And folks, David, Jim, thank you for coming in, and all of the folks in the chat room. Sorry we didn't have Dan Green in for longer. Would like to have heard us come back. Everybody, thanks so much. We're at the end of the hour, folks.
Wow, time flies when you're having fun.
It does.
I got to go buy that stupid shit at Walmart now.
Yeah. Well, everybody have a great week
really
and stay stay focused. We got to stay focused.
People, thank you so much for tuning in. Jack and I will be here next Sunday. And
look forward to it.
This is the end of the show. We're about to go off air. I want to remind everyone to run over and listen at Progressive News Network. I'm going to play off with his promo.
Progressive News Network. Tune in at 7 p.m. to Progressive News Network. Join News Director Rick Spezak as he talks with progressives from across the state and beyond on issues of war and peace, the environment, human rights, and our vote. 7 p.m. Eastern, www.newmercurymedia.com, pnn.html. That's www.newmercurymedia.com. There is a better world to come in. Solidarity and peace. Progressive News Network.
There's a better world to come in. Don't you see?
All right.